Welcome to Career Tools. Today's podcast, What to Do When Your Manager Makes a Bad Decision, Part 2. The questions this cast answers are, why do managers make bad decisions? What can you do about your manager's bad decisions? And is there ever a right time to challenge a decision? If you'd like answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Well, the summer is coming to an end. I'm sorry if I'm the first one to break it to you, but that's where we're at. And note, because the summer is ending, you've got plenty of opportunities to join us in one of our public conferences this September. We'll be in Los Angeles, California, and Toronto, Ontario. And we're also hosting a virtual effective manager conference, as well as a virtual effective communicator conference, and a virtual effective remote manager conference. So consider joining us by looking online today at manager-tools.com/training. You can find all our availability for all our September dates.
Our next reason that managers could make what you believe to be a bad decision is insufficient information.
Mm-hmm.
Being a manager comes with a lot of other complexities, numerous difficulties, right? And having to make decisions with insufficient information is just one of them. And you know how it is. You don't have to be a manager, right? Think of a decision that you have to make in everyday life. I mean, sometimes you have to buy a new TV, right? And you don't know, you know, you're not an expert at TVs or the cycle at which new TVs or new technology is released. And so you go through this, I don't know, especially with technology, you go through this thing of like, well, I worry that I'm going to buy a TV. By the time I get it set up, do all that, is the next best model going to come out in a month?
TV, right?
Right.
I wasted all this money.
Exactly.
Why did I even get a TV?
Yeah. Or this would be, you know, 20% less.
Yeah.
In
oh my gosh,
because
right?
The new one's going to be out, right? And you just don't know. And it's frustrating. But at some point, here's the thing, you got to buy that TV. Right?
Yeah. You have to, but you're living without a TV now.
Right. Exactly. Or
for
you have
sure.
to accept that you're living, you know, where you're going to read a lot, right?
And, exactly.
And that's fine, right?
Right.
But whatever that decision is, right? Most of us have those types of decisions, whether it's buying a car, whether it's buying a TV, whatever it is. There's something where you're not going to have all of the information.
No.
And
you can't.
You can't. You never do. And your manager is in the same situation.
Yeah.
They have decisions that they have to make, and they're not going to have all the information because of time and because of, and we're going to talk about time in a minute, but, and just not having all the info. So they can make decisions based on the information that they have, but also you have to understand the information that they have is different than the information that you have.
Yeah.
And so it can be frustrating when a manager doesn't seem to, you know, consider something or take action on something that maybe you think is a problem. And especially if you've reported it to them several times. Well, what you don't know is what's happening behind the scenes or what those other factors may be that are influencing their lack of action or perceived lack of action. I mean, for example, you could be bringing something up and they may have brought it up to their manager. And now your boss's boss is telling them, oh yeah, you know, there's something else going on there. Don't do anything about that. And your manager doesn't want to break that, you know, that confidence with their boss. And so they just kind of don't do anything.
Yeah.
As they were told to.
Take no action. As they were
right?
told. Exactly.
And to you, it seems like you're not, they're not taking action. They're not doing anything. They're not making the decision that you would like. And, you know, I've always heard the phrase or something along the lines of, a lack of a resolution doesn't always equal a lack of action, consideration, or effort.
Yes,
sometimes
exactly.
That's not a high priority, or that's not, you know, going to get resolved in, you know, this particular cycle.
Exactly. So this insufficient information thing,
it occurs. I mean, for all of us all the time, this exists. No decision we make is with all of the information we could possibly have. And therefore, your manager is prone to the insufficient information equation as well. So what do you do about it if you are that recipient? First off, and in advance of all decisions being made, just simply make sure your manager has all the information you think your manager needs. So, for example, if you know that the database becomes unstable at 5,000 items and your manager's been talking about a new database structure that includes 10,000 items, make sure you've communicated that. If the 10,000 item limit is required, is there a solution you can think of that'll mitigate the instability of the database? If the plan goes ahead with 10,000 items, is it possible your manager is using a different structure, or that the instability is acceptable in certain use cases, one of which this could very well be? If the operation falls apart because of the item count, right? That is, maybe you know 5,000, you know at 10,000 it becomes unstable, and you've clearly communicated that. You feel like you've said it multiple times to your manager, and the operation falls apart because of the item count. The answer is not to say, I told you so. Again, do you want to be right or do you want to be effective? Mm-hmm. Rather, the answer is to say, well, you know, I think it might be the item limit. Is there some way we can split the 10,000 between two databases or come up with another solution that you know is possible to alleviate this concern? So, essentially, in other words, your job is not to stand on the sidelines Monday morning quarterbacking, but to actually be a part of the game, to win that game as part of a team, to make that goal happen with the team and the conditions that are currently present. And sometimes the ideal does not exist. How do we get the ball to the goal anyway? That's what it means to be part of a team.
Yeah, exactly. The next mistake or reason that managers make decisions that you may believe to be bad is time pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We just mentioned, right? Not having enough information and then being bound by time. Now, the faster a decision has to be made, the more likely it is to be wrong.
Yeah.
This is a fact of life, not just management. This is, you know, welcome to just being a human.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's go back to number one again.
Right.
We're humans.
Exactly. And the bigger a decision is, the more slowly it needs to be made, the more time needs to be considered, right? Or needs to be had to consider.
Mm-hmm. The complexity just by
There's
itself
just more
requires more
factors.
Time required. Yeah.
Absolutely. So we want to include all of those factors in the decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
But especially in managerial life, time is not always a luxury that we have.
Yeah.
Often, first-line managers have to make decisions more quickly than they want to because they have to make the decisions and pass those decisions up in time for those second line managers to pass their decisions up, right? And so on and so forth. And, you know, the irony is that sometimes the more structure you have, you think of structure as being something that slows things down, but at certain points, it causes these pinch points in time.
Yeah.
Right? So at the lowest levels of the hierarchy and management and even individual contributors, things seem fast, but that's because of all the other slow moving parts. And now it's like, okay, well, we've taken all this time and now it's time to go, right? Or make a decision quick because it's going to take me longer to work this up the chain.
Yeah.
So it's just time is always a factor. And we don't always have the ability as managers or professionals to get the time that we think we need for a decision.
Exactly. Well, and I mean, none of us can make more time. So, yeah. I mean, we're all bound by this, and your manager is prone to this. So, what can you do if you feel like your manager is suffering from the lack of time? That is, first off, meet your deadlines. Just meet your deadlines. Know that if you are meeting the deadlines required for you and your work, you are ensuring that everything is in place for them to make those decisions and move ahead. And if you're asked to create work in time for your managers to make a decision, which is probably the case in many instances, do that work as comprehensively and accurately as you can, whilst meeting the deadline you've been given. And full disclosure, sometimes those deadlines are going to be tight. But if your manager has all the information they could possibly have, all of your deadlines are met, their decision then in turn may not be its most perfect, but it's going to be as good as it can given the lack of time.
Yeah, great point.
Mm-hmm.
Our next reason is cognitive bias. Now, cognitive bias is a term that describes systemic ways that we all misunderstand the world. For example, we think that things that have happened more recently have happened more frequently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So that's that recency bias, right? And, you know, this is something that we see often in, I mean, I'm a big sport. I got like a lot of sports and sports things. And so I follow a lot of stuff. And somebody will say, well, this guy had a great game, played a great game. And they'll say, well, he's the best player to ever play that game. And somebody goes, well, is that just because he had a good game last night? Like, there's a little bit of recency bias there. And now we think that because it happened yesterday, he's always this great, right? And that exists, I think, in a lot of other things. If there was just an earthquake, right? People will tell you, oh my gosh, these earthquakes are really ramping up. There's so many earthquakes all the time, right? And we've already discovered that this is kind of a human thing, right?
Yeah.
We talked about managers being human, and this is a human thing. We have these cognitive biases. And that means that your manager is not immune to them either, right? We all have them. And probably the most common cognitive bias is confirmation bias, where we view the world, where we take in information and we look for information that confirms what we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a manager might be convinced that this particular strategy is the right one, right? They're convinced this is the right way. And they may, because of this cognitive bias, find every reason to poke holes in opposing strategies. And you may be proposing a different strategy, and you may feel like your manager is unfairly or unjustly, you know, poking holes in your proposal. But part of that is they have a way they think is going to work.
Yeah. Right?
And so they're kind of looking for reasons to confirm their suspicions or their thoughts and eschew any opposing thoughts.
That's exactly it. Yeah, I was, the other day, Andrew, I was presenting our virtual effective hiring manager conference. If anyone listening to this interviews the effective hiring manager conference, which we deliver virtually and in person, we talk a lot at the beginning of that day, beginning of that content, I'm going to say, about the common confirmation biases that people who are interviewing candidates for jobs are prone to fall into. And one of those is looking for reasons to say yes, right? If you review somebody's resume, oh my gosh, they went to the same school as me. Oh, wow, I wonder if we have tons of things in common. I think I'm going to like this person. And then you go in pre-thinking you're going to like this person. And then you discover all of these reasons and more that you like this person. And then we end up hiring people accidentally unintentionally, actually, is probably the right word, unintentionally, who don't work out because we found all of these reasons that they were someone we should hire, when the problem really is we shouldn't have been looking for reasons to say yes, because if you look for reasons to say yes, you're going to find them. Rather, looking for reasons to say no, because if you look for reasons to say no, you're going to find them. And then you can make a decision, an educated decision about, is this flaw something that is essentially a deal breaker? But people, we're human, and we're all prone to these cognitive biases. So if you are, again, the direct, you are the recipient of a manager who is making decisions that you think are an outcome of their cognitive biases. No, there are many cognitive biases, and though the examples given in articles and textbooks seem obvious, establishing that your manager is suffering from one takes the training of a psychologist. And unless you have that training, and my assumption here, our assumption here is going to be you probably don't. So unless you have that training,
it's a fair assumption.
Yeah, it's a fair assumption, I think, for many people, not all, obviously. We don't recommend, without training, you try and analyze anyone else's thought processes, including the thought processes of your manager. Furthermore, you are just as likely to be suffering from one or more cognitive biases. And we don't, it's that, what is it? Don't throw stones if you live in a glass house.
Yeah.
This is now me, like you did earlier, me butchering like a common phrase right. that I don't actually know what it is. But anyway, it's essentially right. that.
You
right?
know the spirit of it.
I know the spirit of it. And the spirit of it is you have them too, so don't point fingers at other people. And while these biases are common, again, for you and for your manager, it's really not that smart to be calling it out.
No.
Right? Saying, oh, well, you're suffering from a cognitive bias. It's not going to further your career, I guess is what I'm saying.
Because your career is about two things. Results and relationships.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And this is where relationships are important, right?
Exactly.
This, as though this is the only time.
Right.
Relationships are important, but this is a good example
uh-huh.
of how your behaviors, right? Like Sarah has said multiple times in this cast, do you want to be right or do you want to be effective?
Right. Exactly.
We have to also consider that there's a relationship aspect
yeah.
here.
Exactly. Yeah.
And calling names. People out for their
exactly.
biases
yeah.
that they're, by definition unaware
have,
of.
And they right? don't know of. Yeah, exactly.
right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, probably not wise.
Exactly. Probably not wise. So instead, make sure that your work or your arguments are clear and logical, and that your assumptions are listed in your creation of work. If you know that you're not the most logical type person, by all means, ask a peer, ask someone else you know to go through your work to find any places that you might have missed something or left a loophole or maybe didn't cover all of the bases you need to have. And as an outcome of that, either you by yourself or you running it past a peer, etc., if you are able to discern a clear, logical, fact-based reason that you believe your boss's strategy will not work, that you can present in a calm, rational, focused, clear manner, then, and before the decision is made, have that conversation. Remember that your boss may still, after you've made your case, let's call it, remember that your boss may still go ahead with their decision based on any number of the other reasons listed here or more. And in that case, if you've made your best argument in a calm, clear, rational fashion, and your manager still decides to go ahead with it, all you can do is use the professional subordination approach. That is, support the decision your manager makes.
Yeah, I think it's more evidence and just further supports that professional subordination and murdering the unchosen alternative, because again, we all have those cognitive biases. And if you've expressed disagreement professionally, right, and you've done it all the right way, I would love if every manager is going to assume positive intent from their directs, but not every manager does. Unfortunately, not every manager is a manager tools manager. One day, maybe, but not today. And it's so important for you to for once the decision's made, for you to say, okay, that's it. My proposal's off the table, done. And now we're moving forward, because anything that you do that is that runs counter to the path of the decision that was made, a manager that's not assuming positive intent could perceive that as, oh, it could be something completely, you know, benign, something, you know, you forgot to give someone some information, or you forgot to send an email. Mm-hmm. That there's a chance that manager says, oh, well, this is Andrew sabotaging this particular path because I know he didn't want to do this in the first place, right?
Yeah.
And even if it was innocent.
Yeah, and I would even say, to go a step further, even if your boss never knew that you were verbally second guessing behind their back the decision that they made, how does your boss behaving in a way that is potentially unprofessional, alleviated by you following suit and you behaving unprofessionally? Two wrongs don't make a right.
No, absolutely.
It doesn't. Yeah, like it's not like you should follow suit because they're setting this great example for you. Still be the professional. Still be the professional.
Oh,
regardless of whether or not you're surrounded by professionals, you can control you and you can be the professional.
Absolutely.
If you're an individual who one day the career goal is to be an executive professional, we've got a perfect opportunity for you to increase your network by joining our executive speaker series. Available online today, you can register for monthly calls with a group of executives from the Manager Tools community as we share important executive topics. And sure, you might not be an executive yet, but you know what? Meeting, having relationships with, and connecting with a bunch of executives will certainly ensure that you become one. So visit us online at manager-tools.com/products today to learn more.
So another reason for, or potentially a decision that you believe your manager made that you view as bad, would be a lack of diverse perspectives. And it's been well demonstrated, I think, over the last 20 or 30 years that more diverse companies are more successful. The more diverse a team is, or the more diverse perspectives a manager has as input into a decision, the more likely that particular decision is to be successful. I think, you know, you only have to watch a few of the numerous social media apologies that are out there from people, you know, apologizing, realizing, or to realize that if those creators of those apologies had advisors from a wider range of their audience, or, you know, people close to them, they'd never have either said or done those things in the first place that they then needed to apologize for.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we see this all the time, right? How many times do you see someone make a decision and you think to yourself, oh, I don't think this is going to be good. And then later they have to apologize for it. And you're like, yeah, if you only would have asked me. Now I'm not anybody. I mean, I'm obviously not a person that these people who have to apologize publicly on social media are going to ask. However, many of us see these things and we're like, oh yeah, this is not good, which is clear. It's a clear sign they're not receiving a perspective that's like yours, obviously.
Right. And, you know, we can't blame a manager who takes on a team that consists of directs with, you know, a narrow range of experience. You know, social media provides us with this just massive, ever-widening range of perspectives. And it also deliberately narrows our perspectives by providing us with more of what we already asked for, right?
Yeah.
The algorithm.
Yes, thank you, right? Algorithm.
The algorithm knows that I like this, and so that's what it feeds me. But what happens is, and this is the conundrum, is we think we have this wide range because it's social media. It's the whole internet.
Oh, yeah.
It's the whole world.
Whole internet. I'm seeing everything on the internet.
But this is all I see, so we think this is everything.
This is everything.
Right. And
yeah.
It's a dangerous thing, right? And some of us, because we've realized that it's a dangerous thing, we just avoid social media altogether, right? Because
yeah.
it's toxic,
opt out.
Right? Yeah. The issue potentially, though, is, you know, some of us live in big cities, and so we have lots of perspectives and we have lots of people around us from a diverse backgrounds, but some people live in small towns and they work from a small town and they don't see a lot of perspectives or different ways of thinking. And how are you to get those perspectives if you're not exposed to them? So it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So how do you, or I suppose, what can you do if you believe that bad decision-making on behalf of your manager is occurring due to this lack of diversity? So first off, you can be willing to speak up for your own perspective. I mean, Andrew, we talked substantially about this previously. That is, no one should ask you to be a representative of your segment of the population, whatever they think that is. That is absolutely wrong. However, especially when we're new to the workforce, what can happen naturally is we can be timid or cautious to contribute our own perspective, thinking that it's insignificant compared to those people that have a ton of experience. But that's not true. It's actually often very helpful for people with more experience to be reminded of what it was like to be new or what it's like to experience a system. Oh my gosh, what it's like to experience a website for the first time. That's one that I find often. I mean, nearly every day of my life. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably gone to the Manager Tools website to get this perspective. I talk almost every day with somebody at Manager Tools about the fact that this organizational system, or the where this certain thing is located, like, for example, our video conferences, it's not under training, even though an outsider, a customer, mm-hmm. for example, is coming thinking to themselves, video training is training. Video products are under products, which to a customer, it's not a product. It's a way for me to receive training. But at this point, I'm website blind to it. At this point, it's so hard to see it. I only go to certain places on our website. I don't see all the things that are wrong with it. And new people can really help with that, bring in a new perspective. So don't hold back on what you see as maybe needing or which would benefit from your perspective just because you're new. Your new perspective is a great perspective. Speak up. If you know something that no one else seems to know somehow, there are certain words, for example, that have meanings or connotations in certain demographics that are perfectly innocent in other demographics. So there are words, phrases, and images which, we've all seen this, older generations tend to use freely, innocently, without meaning any offense, which have become taboo for good reason in younger generations. And in your voicing of this, you don't need to be, in fact, we'd recommend you please do not be militant or rude about it. Remember, again, assume positive intent. So, and I know this one specifically, if it tends to be that, right? If it's a, it's one of these negative connotation kind of words or phrases, it can be a sensitive thing. And people tend to be hesitant to maybe not necessarily hesitant to say something, but don't know how to say it in a respectful way that, going back to your point a moment earlier, Andrew, is still supportive of the relationship while making mention of a thing that is, I'm going to call it emotionally charged in this case. Now, if you're looking for a way, a nice soft way to introduce this is to use the teach as if teach not method that we introduce in a podcast called Teach As If Teach Not Performance Communication. Go back, listen to that podcast. If you're in a situation like this, it will absolutely support you in this conversation. For example, it sounds like, I'm sure you know this, but I just want to say it out loud so we get this on the list. This word is taboo in this community. We should use this other word instead, right? It's that. It's the giving credit to the audience for already knowing something, but you just wanting to make sure it gets on the record or wanting to make sure it gets on the list. It's that. Give people the credit for knowing that information and then let them know that information that you know that they may or may not know, but now everyone knows.
Yeah. If I could just share a quick example.
Yeah. Of this.
I remember, I think it was an effective manager conference. And I remember hearing two network administrators talking about a term or set of terms that has been sunsetted or, you know, whatever. And it was, you know, a more seasoned, more veteran network professional talking to a relatively younger, newer network professional. And they were talking about the terms whitelist and blacklist in terms of who has access to certain things and or whatever. And that was just an example of, and when I heard you say that, I thought that would be a perfect example of how you could work that into, you know, a teach as if teach not framework and say, I'm sure mm-hmm. you already know this, but you know, and that would be a very easy way to approach something that could be emotionally charged.
Yeah, exactly. I guess what I'm saying is it doesn't have to be emotionally charged.
No.
If you don't bring your emotions to it. That's really it. I mean, don't make the assumption that people are using words knowing everything you know about those words and thinking of them the way you do, because mm-hmm. they may not. And trust that if they knew the information you knew, they would have chosen different words, and assume they just don't have that same information. And you can add to that equation the benefit of helping other people learn stuff that you know and making for a better world around all of you.
Absolutely. And one more thing about speaking up. If you don't speak up and you don't say anything, because let's say this person says, oh, okay, well, I don't care. I'm going to use the words I use and then... That's good information to have.
Yeah, that's good information to have,
too. It's rare that it's going to happen.
I was going to say, almost no one's going to do that, but you're right.
But it's really good to know.
It's so good to know. Now you're like, oh, I see you. Oh, you're that person. Okay,
right.
Good to know. Exactly.
But if you don't speak up, if you don't say anything, then you don't know.
You don't know. Exactly. Yeah. Oh my gosh, so good. That's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week as we wrap up this topic.